What up, everyone? This is Brenton.
And Jenna.
This podcast is all about connecting with our Autumn family in a fun and different kind of way.
So turn down that CB, buckle up, and enjoy the show. It's going to be trucking awesome.
All right. Hey, everybody. We're back with the Autumn Transport Podcast. We got Brenton and Jenna here with us. And a special guest, we got Chris Thomas. He's a driver in the Autumn Transport Pneumatic Division. How you doing, Chris?
I am fantastic. How are you all doing today?
Doing well. It's an amazing November day, about a week before Thanksgiving, and almost, 40, 50 degrees up here, which is, for Minnesota weather, phenomenal.
Yeah, maybe it'll hang around through the winter and you won't have like 50 days of straight 0 degree weather.
That would be an amazing Christmas gift.
It's a pipe dream, but we'll see.
Yeah, right?
Where are you at today, Chris?
So I'm pulled over here on I-80 eastbound in Illinois, just come off of 294. So most of you drivers are going to know where that's at. This is the Chicago Southland Oasis. And stopped here and done some stuff there earlier and got some fantastic crepes inside, like the authentic crepes, not the IHOP stuff, like made right there, huge. Had some salmon on it, some capers, you know, kind of like a lox crepe almost instead of the lox bagel without the cream cheese. Good stuff.
Very good. Well, we're excited to have you. I've been talking with Jenna and we've been excited trying to get you on this podcast for quite a while, so to get you to take a little time with us, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Why don't we get rolling and just kind of introduce yourself a little bit more to our listeners. Let us know, you know, who you are, where you're from, passions, interests, just stuff like that. Who is Chris Thomas?
Sure. So, hi, everybody. I'm Chris Thomas. You can follow me everywhere, Indie Trucker online, Twitter, Instagram, wherever. It's a weird thing. I-N-I-N-D-I-E, like independent, indie film, indie art, indie music. I'm not from Indiana. I know I've got that question a lot over the years. I think it's finally sticking, you know, people are not wondering what part of Indiana. So I'm from Eastern Kentucky. I've been with Autumn this stretch since 2013. I left for 2 months in 2013 to go pull RGN because it's really... probably still want to do that, honestly. I want to haul big loads and throw big, heavy chains. But, you know, it just really didn't pay the bills. So I come back to Autumn. Overall, I've been here since 2010 in the pneumatics division. And, you know, Autumn's just a great place to call home. Like, it's just an easy job. You know, I don't even think I work when I'm out here. I mean, obviously I do. But, you know, it's just it's fun. The staff makes it great. You know, the customers make it even better. And, you know, yeah, it's got challenges like any other segment of the freight market. But, you know, it's just a great place to be.
Well, thanks for saying that, man. I should let our listeners know, guys, Chris has volunteered to kind of be a guinea pig for us. We're trying to sort out all the audio issues with talking to guys over the phone. So if this sounds a little bit less clear than some of our other podcasts, I apologize. That's totally on me. And I'm working on it. I'm a full-time dispatcher and a part-time podcaster. So we'll get those skills up. But Chris, thanks for being willing to stick through this with us.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
So what originally brought you to Autumn? How did you find Autumn Transport? How long have you been trucking?
I've been trucking since 2005. You know, the story is my ex-wife got me in the truck, and I was a firefighter, EMT, and a 911 dispatcher in Northern Kentucky. I worked at the Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky International Airport for several years as a dispatcher as my main job. And then I was a volunteer at Burlington Fire Protection District and also worked ambulance there. So I was just a workaholic. She comes in one day and says, "Hey, let's go trucking together." And I'm like, "Well, all right, let's just go trucking. Let's try this out." So we went to Schneider. I stayed a company driver for a couple of years. Then I ended up getting into a lease purchase kind of deal with another contractor through FedEx Custom Critical. I was with FedEx Custom Critical for almost 3 years. And then, if you heard, she's my ex-wife. So obviously there's some issues there. And I come to Autumn, and it was during a recession, right? And I was looking for a new place to call home, and Autumn was running these advertisements, like, you know, the truck stop rags. That might have been National Trucking Magazine or something like that. One of the career magazines that used to be in truck stops all the time. It probably still is. I just haven't looked because I don't need to go anywhere. So Autumn has this ad up that says recession proof, right? You know, and I'm like, okay, let's call it up because it was bad. Like, you know, I'm not joking. When my numbers as an owner, you know, an owner operator lease in 2008 was cut by 2/3 from 08 to 09, that's a big drop. So I think everybody was in this boat just trying to stay afloat, trying to go wherever you could. So Autumn was kind of like that life raft, right? And it was, you know, like I said, recession proof. So I come over to Autumn. I didn't know a thing about pneumatics whatsoever. But, you know, I'm a fast learner, and I got some good tips right off the bat, and just been doing it ever since, been grinding, been learning every day, you know, try to learn and improve every day on it.
And you've been in pneumatics the entire time. What do you like about working in pneumatics?
You know, it's a challenge. You know, it doesn't get boring. And some drivers may not want that, but that's what I usually go after. I'm usually looking for a challenge. It's like when I was doing high value freight, every load that I done was something new. There's some different kind of puzzle to figure out. So I like figuring out problems. So, you know, pneumatics is a good mixture, right? Because you have to be really on top of it with the tank cleaning process. The tank washes aren't always going to do what they should do, so you kind of got to really get in there and watch after them and come up with your own solution sometimes to get it that extra inch to make sure that it's ready for the next load.
Yeah, that's a big deal with the pneumatics and the liquid tanks, which is what my guys run, and making sure that those trailers get cleaned out and checking up on those tank washes to make sure you don't have any contamination issues or things left behind in the trailer that aren't supposed to be there. You know, you don't get the trailer sealed correctly. You don't get the trailer dried all the way. And then you get to the next pickup and they won't load you because of that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I can't ever stress enough that, you know, if you slack off, you know, one day, if you don't go up there and check your trailer and make sure that it's dry or proper and make sure it got washed out, that's the day probably gonna get bit in the butt. And you know, tank washes aren't right next to our customers. They're often 2, 3, 4 hours away sometimes, so you know, it becomes a hindrance when you've got to go all the way back. So it's always prudent to just check and make sure that everything's ready to go when you leave the tank wash.
For sure. If we can roll back just a little bit here, you said you started out as a company driver and now you're in the owner operator. In the owner operator game, did you do the lease purchase program through Autumn when you came on board here?
Actually, no. I'd actually bought my truck through Select Trucks, financed it on my own. I tried to basically had a falling out with the previous contractor because I wasn't getting paid by the subcontractor for FedEx. So I went back and tried to work with FedEx after that, and the market had changed so much, and being, you know, coming in as a new entrant, I was treated a little bit differently. So there was just some falling out there, and I had to find somewhere else to go. So I come over with my own truck. You know, I had that one for a couple of years. That was an old Freightliner Century class. So it was 0812 was that truck number. And then I moved on. I bought Purple Western Star, which I lovingly called Barney. worst purchasing decision. Listen, I learned so much with that truck. Like, buying the wrong truck can really just make your life a living, you know what. And I bought this truck, and it had a Mercedes-Benz engine in it. And it was just a nightmare from, like, wasn't nightmare day one. It was nightmare, you know, like 2 or 3 months in. And I basically had the entire summer off trying to figure out, trying to get it fixed, trying to diagnose it. And got it fixed, and it ran pretty good for about 13 months. And I remember the moment it was time to take it home, it was overheating in Georgia, and I pulled in there like, oh, you need a complete overhaul. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. So I bobtailed home, 35 mile an hour up Delico. If you know, you know. And yeah, I bought this truck. This is a 2000 Freightliner Classic with an N14 in it, and I've had it ever since. Like, this has been, you know, if you see me running up and down the road, I am the blue and white classic here. I think I am officially the oldest truck in the fleet at this point, as far as the age, make, and model. So,
probably, though, the most social media prolific truck in the fleet. I think that's what first connected me with you, is just the amount of pictures that you put online of your truck with sunset behind it, or parked outside of a brewery making a delivery.
Yeah, that one made the website. Yep.
Yep. You're on the website, and quite often on our Facebook and Twitter pages and Instagram there. Have you always been a big social media guy?
Well, I've always been a big nerd, right? I guess you could say, like, you know, I went to college for just about, probably about a year and a half. And I was in computer science, and I figured out that I really didn't like I like technology and computers, but I didn't like being behind the screen all the time texting away at code. So I dropped out, and that's how I went into emergency services. And, you know, so, but I've always kept my interest up in technology, just like all the different things and trying new things out. And as we're getting along, just the tools have become so much better for like content creation and for doing things from the truck. Like when I got into trucking, we all had flip phones, and you had to push, you know, a button 15 million times to get to the right letter to send the text. You know, it took forever to send the text.
Oh, don't bring me back.
So now, you know, now we've got, you know, pretty much a complete studio on your phone. You can literally do anything from your phone, and it just gets better all the time. Like, the technology just gets a little bit better, and, you know, I enjoy it. It's a time waster when you're just sitting around and bored. You know, a lot of drivers just get out here and get, you know, frustrated, or they get something on their mind, and it's kind of the way to break out of that monotony of just getting in and just thinking about all the negative stuff. And if you do get into that, you need something to break out and do something. And, you know, it fills my, I think I have a creative side, and I think that fills that creative side while I'm out here.
Yeah. I have a question, switching gears a little bit. So, you know, we're all about swag around here at Autumn Transport.
Oh, yeah.
And especially with the podcast, we have some connections now with some cool hats and different things. So I have to ask, the please advise is kind of the hot topic, at least on X. What's the story?
What is please advise? All right. What is please advise? Well, you know, how should I go about this? The buzz that I was creating at F3. So, you know, I was just basically going everybody around telling everybody that we were a cult of freight, right? You just throw the pallets out in the street and light them on fire. But that's not exactly the truth. So back earlier this year, I went to MATS, the Mid-America Trucking Show in Louisville. And I've been on Twitter since like the beginning, like 2008. And I've met quite a few people on there and just had a big selection of friends. So I sent out a tweet and I said, hey, yo, I'm going to MATS. Let's hook up if you're there. So it ended up being my friend, Gord, who is he's a podcaster, also Voice of Gord, and he also writes for like Newsweek and Compact Magazine. And just, he's kind of an international trucker who writes, right? And he gets there and we meet up with, Justin Martin from Freight Waves, who's a super trucker, Mike Lombard of the Lombard Trucking Podcast, and then Reed Moosalot. Now, Reed is the kind of guy behind the hat. You're right. You know, he's working on this, software, and his company is Lost Freight, LostFR8.com. And, basically he's all about broadcasting your capacity, you know, to truck brokerages. So you build these relationships. Like he's about building relationships and about building new solutions. And, so we're there and he gets, he's got this hat on, and my story is I tell him to make the hat, and, you know, he made the hat and I bought the first one. That's my story. I'm going to stick to it, but he's got a Discord server, and there's just, you know, when I got on there, it was like 60 of us, and now it has grown to over 900, and it's people from all walks of the trucking industry, truckers, brokers, shippers, freight forwarders, 3PL people. I've learned so much about, you know, the backside of the industry from the smoke-filled back room of the supply chain. So, you know, we're on there just posting stuff all day, posting, you know, family stuff, work stuff, questions, memes, making fun of stupid stuff in the industry, the inefficiencies, you know. And it's just really fun. So this summer he's like, listen, he's like, we got tickets and Craig Fuller wants us to come to the Future of Freight. Like he was inviting all of, you know, us content creators and people on Discord and on the FreightX community, which is Twitter now. And, at first I was like, hey, what am I going to do there? You know, what's an old trucker going to learn this thing? And, so he twists my arm a little bit. I show up, I go, and it was an amazing experience. Like, I don't think that most people who work in at the executive level in so many companies ever talk to a truck driver. Like, they never talk to the smallest cog of the supply chain. When you get up to that level, you just kind of forget. So I wonder sometimes, it was probably a little bit fun for everybody. It was fun for me. You know, I just, you know, they're just learning so much and just, it was a fun event and it's just so cool. The hospitality of the FreightWaves people in Chattanooga is out of this world. And, yeah, it just gave me so many ideas while I was there. Like, just, I got a ton of ideas that I'm pursuing out right now. And, you know, we're going to see what I can come up with next year. And there's a $100,000 prize out there in the FreightX community that Craig announced. So the best content creators have a shot at maybe getting some hard cash next November.
Well, that's super cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that hat jumped out at me too. I probably typed the phrase, please advise, about 100 times a day. Just checking in on, is that load still available? What are we going to do with this guy's detention? You know, please advise, let us know. We want to keep this guy moving, keep this truck going. Everything that we can do to help our owner operators out there. So the freight, the F3, do you say it was the Future of Freight?
Yeah, so it's the Future of Freight Festival. And I mean, it really felt like a festival. Like, obviously, there's people there doing business and closing big deals and you know, and side rooms and stuff like that. But there was just all these great keynote speeches from, like, Michio Kaku, Brad Jacobs of XPO. I think Chris Basso might have been his name. He's a former FBI negotiator. Just all of these great, just great free information, right? Free advice. And it's really inspirational if you're into that stuff. And if you're not, you should be. You should be into stuff that makes you grow mentally and challenges you to think. And it really challenged me. It brought me up to another level. And I met more people. I met more what I'm starting to call freight friends, right? Freight friends are great friends. And I met like trucking legends. I met Kevin Rutherford. I mean, if you don't know who Kevin Rutherford and you've been in this industry longer than 10 years, you've had your head in the thing. It was so cool. It was just the coolest experience. And I look forward to going again because, like, it's a thing. Like, it's just an addition to trucking, right? Trucking's already an awesome gig, but, you know, it's even better when you got friends in trucking.
I like what you said there. Freight friends are great friends. For a lot of guys, trucking is a pretty lonely deal.
Sure.
You're going to have those guys that get into it because they like being alone. They like just sitting in their truck all day, not having to interact with anybody, not having a boss telling them what to do. They just get to drive and do whatever they want. But there's also a lot of, you know, mental health issues that can come from that, being alone all day and being negative. There's so many difficulties that you guys face out there with weather and four wheelers on the road and problems at pickups and deliveries and delays and hassles. And just as the son of a trucker, I know that it can drive you mad if you're alone with your thoughts all day. How has that community supported you and kept you encouraged and enthused? And what are you doing to do the same thing back with other guys?
Sure. So, you know, that's it. Like, you know, when you find yourself in like that situation, in that place, like, and I've been there before. I think everybody's been out here in the truck. We all have our days. we have our issues and stuff. And, you know, the quicker you get out of that mindset, that rut that you're in, you have to break that somehow. And I can't tell you what the best way. You either need to get out, take a walk. You need maybe call your family. Maybe you need to pray, whatever it is. You got to get your mind right. And the quicker you can do that, the better off you're going to be, because you can really get down and out here. And then, you know, when you're down, that's when you're going to mess up. And trucking is a stressful career. Like, we are out here, we're the professional drivers. Like, if we screw up, there's a billboard lawyer somewhere waiting for us to screw up. You always just got to be 100% on your game all the time. So whatever it is that you need to do, you need to get your mind right. And you need to start the day, right?
Yeah, that's something I learned really fast getting in the industry, is that you guys deal with a lot out there, whether it's regulations, changes, just so many different moving parts to what you guys do. So definitely commend you for that, and staying organized and keeping your head right, I'm sure, is a tough task. So when we talked yesterday too, one thing that kind of stuck with me that I thought was cool from your experience at the conference was you said, you know, social media is all about ideas, right? And it truly is. And just like, who's got the best ideas, what's next, and kind of staying ahead of the game. And that's what Brenton and I try to do with social media. It's like, what's cool, what's trending. But my question is like, what are the problems that trucking is trying to solve then? There's a lot going on, a lot of things you guys have to keep up with. What were some of the conversations you had based off of that? I know you mentioned something about like truck parking. I'm sure there's a lot of different things that come to mind, but yeah, what were those?
Sure. So, you know, I mean, it's, you know, there are obviously issues out here. I think one of them may be getting ready to get solved with the Guaranteeing Overtime Act, or Overtime for Truckers Act. And, you know, I don't know how much the FreightX community has in pushing that. But I feel like, you know, maybe we were a few of the pebbles, you know, especially like Mike Lombard and CDL Drivers Unlimited, you know, Lee and Lisa Schmidt over there with CDLDU. They've been really pushing, and OI has really been pushing. And, you know, while that doesn't directly affect the owner-operator model or independent lease model, what that's going to do is that's going to push a lot of inefficiencies, I believe, out of the trucking space. And it's going to be in a little bit of adjustment. But what you're going to see is a lot of companies that honestly just shouldn't be operating, maybe go by the wayside. And that's going to be a net positive for everybody who's doing good business, doing things the right way.
Yeah. Crazy.
You had mentioned recently, a couple minutes ago, about getting your mind right. And you used a few phrases. You said maybe that's talking with your family, that's prayer, that's like your health. And it's interesting because in following you through your social media, I've kind of seen bits and pieces of all of that in you. Remind me, were you the guy that for a little while was putting up some workout videos using some kind of a crazy hammer?
Yeah, maybe I was.
Maybe
the chop fit.
Yeah, the chop fit thing. What was that all about?
You just gotta post it. You just gotta send it. So I got that in the truck. I haven't used it for a while. And honestly, cause, I don't know, I've just been walking and doing other things. Like, I'm still working on it. I'm just not working as hard as I was back when the weather was nice. But no, I mean, you know, I've been on a kind of the weight loss journey this year. You know, I think COVID packed it on, and I'm back down to, you know, a little bit below pre-COVID weight now. And
that way.
No, the goal is get another 20 off, and then I'll officially no longer be, you know, I won't be obese at all. Like, that's a common factor in the trucking industry. It doesn't take much to get there, unfortunately, out here with all of the, you know, there's plenty of food options, right? And sometimes they're not the best, but you can still go in and for the most part make better decisions than just going up to the fast food menu there and being like, yeah, I'm just dead tired, give me a number 8 with a large Coke, right? So, you know, you can go to Love, get salads, you can find fresh fruits and vegetables out here, you can carry cans of soup, you know, just cut back, and just, you know, that's part of it, right? Because when you're healthier, you know, when your body's getting what it needs as far as exercise and nutrition, that's a big part that's going to really fix your mindset. Because if you're feeling bad all the time, you're just never going to get out of that slump. So, you know, and sometimes it is. It's hard. Sometimes you get in that slump and you just want to stay there. But, you know, you just got to push yourself to get out and do better. And, you know, little steps, little habit changes. You know, you don't have to go out and run a marathon next month. But, you know, you have to start walking a little bit. You have to start moving more. You have to cut back and eat less. Maybe stop drinking pop, you know, stuff like that.
Well, I'm trying to drop a few pounds myself. So I've been making some of those same choices. And Jen and I were talking about this morning, just how there's just some of those days where you just like, man, I just really want to crush a large fry today, and having to kind of hold yourself back a little bit and keep the bigger goals in mind. But I think it is so important. And I didn't bring you on to talk necessarily just about fitness, but just for a healthy mindset, or a good mindset is having a healthy body, like you're saying, and getting into those habits and those routines. And I think, wasn't it your friend Mike, who he's real big on, Mike Lombard, he's pretty big on fitness and working out when you're not delivering a load and stuff like that, eh?
Yeah. He's all about it. That's like his message to the driver community, is just get out and do more. And, you know, if you've never looked him up, look up Lombard Trucking on TikTok. And you know, nothing will motivate you like an ex-Marine trucker in a flak vest running down the side of the frontage road screaming at you, get up out of that seat. Napoleon was great, right?
Yeah, he's kind of like the David Goggins of the trucking world, yeah. I think, is how I've kind of felt when I'm watching his videos.
Oh, yeah.
What else are you seeing out there? Jenna talked about truck parking. That's a pretty big issue.
Yeah, so truck parking is obviously, you know, it's probably the biggest issue right now facing the industry, and government's not going to fix it. You know, government passed Jason's Law in 2011, 2012, and if you're not familiar with Jason's Law, it was about a trucker. I think his name was Jason Schivner, River. I can't remember his last name, but the story was he was in South Carolina, and he was basically shot over a matter of $7. By, you know, somebody, just some crackhead, basically. And so they passed a law to fix the truck parking problem. And all government done with that was, you know, let's do some studies. Oh, yeah, hey, there's a lack of truck parking. Let's put some signage up so we can, you know, tell the truckers that we already know what we know. There's no parking. And while I was there, I met a really great company, truckparkingclub.com. Really great group of guys that are out there trying to fix the problem. Like, they're bringing on so many opportunities for truckers, if, you know, in markets where there's no parking. And yeah, you have to pay for it, but that's just kind of where we went to as an industry. And whether it's, you know, part of it is supply and demand, you know, there's an opportunity for these businesses to make more money. You know, part of it is, you know, trucking community. I mean, I hate to say it, but truckers, there are some within the trucking, not all truckers, obviously. There's many great truckers out there. But, you know, from leaving trash, leaving pee bottles, you know, going to Walmart and stocking up and never stepping foot in the truck stop, it's like a badge of honor. Hey, I don't spend any money at the truck stop. Well, that's great, but they're a business. I don't haul any freight for free, so don't expect the truck stop, you know, to support us for free. And that's kind of the problem, the mentality of where we've got to. And so now, you know, that cat's out of the bag. It's not going back in. And the paid truck parking is just going to be, it's probably going to be part of the future. So you just have to have a lot of solutions, a lot of trip planning. I very rarely ever run into a situation where I don't have parking. You know, you just have to have a really good pre-plan every day to get your goals out.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because you've been a successful owner-operator with Ottoman now for quite a long time. And what are some of those things, guys who are just starting out as owner-operators, guys that are checking out Ottoman, maybe they're listening to this podcast thinking, what kind of a company is Ottoman and how can I be successful if I decide to lease on there? You've been here a long time. You've been successful in what you do. What would you say to somebody who's looking at maybe coming on board here?
Sure. You know, as Autumn helped a lot of guys achieve their dream of owning a truck, right? And there's a key word there, is owning. So you're owning your ownership. You're taking ownership of your career at this point. And this is not just your skills as a driver, but you're now taking on business acumen. And you know, you've got a great opportunity here at Autumn Transport with, you know, they'll support, you know, the whole company supports you if you get down. You just have to bring, the want and the work to do it. And just always be improving, like learn as much as you can. Get on, listen to Kevin Rutherford at letstruck.com. You know, a guy's been in the trucking industry since the 1980s, has more business advice on how to, more successful business advice on how to run a truck prize at any single source. You know, and you just got to keep grinding. Like it's a lifestyle. It's a career. It's not just a job. You know, you got to perfect your customer service skills because we are the customer service face of Autumn. You know, if I go into a customer in a bad mood, you know, that could, you know, affect every other driver here at Autumn. So you always got to keep that in mind, that it's not just me. It's, you know, I am my own truck, right? But at the same time, I've got an entire ecosystem to support, and I want that support back to me as best as we can get it.
I would guess that some of those places that you're a part of online, some of those communities of drivers and other people in the freight industry would be a pretty good place for a new driver to look for some additional support and advice and a place to learn. What are a few of the, I don't know if we're going to have enough room in any social media posts to link all of the people that you've mentioned today and all the connections that you have, but we'll sure try. What are some of the go-tos that guys should be aware of?
Yeah. So, you know,
besides Indy Trucker, obviously.
just come up to x.com, get on FreightX. Get in there and just start looking. There's so much free advice, good free advice there. It's a good community, you know. There's a lot there. You know, learn as much as you can. There's podcasts, a billion of them. There's a billion podcasts. You know, read some books on business. Do things. Like I said, you're not just an truck driver anymore. Once you sign that lease, you're owning it. It's your business and it's your baby, and you've got to perfect your skills and always stop learning. Never stop learning, I say. Always keep learning and just keep grinding out there. I mean, I've owned now, you know, for, you know, a little over 15 years in all, and you know, I still don't know it all. You know, I might say I do sometimes, but you know, I'm still learning every day.
So you went to school and you didn't start driving until you had influence from someone in your life. So what are your thoughts on, and this has been a topic of conversation on some podcasts we've been involved with, and just I've read about it, programs for kids coming right out of school and being exposed to trucking. There's a high school up in northern Minnesota where I grew up that launched a CDL program. Yeah, for seniors or whatever in high school. And I thought that was pretty cool. And there's been a few more now here in the Twin Cities that I've seen. So yeah, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, obviously we have to keep feeding the industry with new people as the generations move on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we need good people coming into the industry. And the gates into the industry right now, unfortunately, are just, for lack of a better term, puppy mill CDL schools. They're just churning out drivers as fast as they can, taking the money as fast as they can. And it's not a proper training program. You know, I probably was a little different coming into trucking than others because I had so much training in emergency services. Like, I already had this just standard operating procedures and common practices drilled into my head. So when I got in a truck, it was an okay school, but you know, it wasn't a total package. Like, I come through there fine, but a lot of people are struggling with it because they're trying to cram so much in you. They want you in that driver's seat when you're a new CDL entry. And, you know, we're trying to change that, right? We're trying to change that a little bit at a time. I think, from inside the industry and get companies out there who build trust and build great drivers, because right now they just, you know, the fake narrative is there's a driver shortage. There's not a driver shortage. There's millions of CDL holders not currently driving a truck, and they left the industry because the industry pushed them out from either lack of training or a lack of pay or something in that combination. It's a brutal industry. You know, it's a hard enough job without carriers taking advantage. And unfortunately, a lot of carriers out there do take advantage of their drivers.
Yeah, unfortunately. I've heard the horror stories.
Yes, not a shortage of drivers, but maybe a shortage of talented, experienced, passionate drivers.
And good companies.
I mean, they're chasing them out of the industry. I mean, you know, if you have, you know, any skill about you right now, I mean, there's a lot of opportunities outside of a truck out there to go. And, you know, this kind of is an ebb and flow of the industry. And we're going to see it again, where a lot of qualified drivers are going to leave the driving seat and go on to doing other things like construction or manufacturing at this point. There's going to be a real struggle there in a few years for talent.
Chris, what was your take on, and again, appreciate you stopping today and spending this time with us, at the F3 conference that you were at, what was your take on how people were talking and feeling about the state of freight right now? Are we in a recession? Is our loads disappearing? What's the driver's feeling out there from the people that you're talking to about kind of how things are right now? Because I know that, you know, at Autumn here during COVID, we did phenomenally during COVID, and we're able to kind of ride it as, for us, things went up for a while. And now maybe we're kind of over that hill and coming down the backside a little bit. And in 15 years, you've seen some of the ups and downs. You started in 2005, so you were driving through the 2008 recession, and you've seen how rates can go up and down just like you're driving on the highway through Colorado, right? So what are you feeling? What did you learn at the conference? What's kind of the vibe in the communities that you're a part of right now?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty right now, probably, especially with newer startups. When this is not just newer truck owner operators. This is newer freight brokerage. This is newer tech companies. We've been a pretty severe freight recession now for the better part of the year. It started early last year, honestly, I believe. And it looks like we're going to be in a freight recession probably through at least middle of next year. So yeah, we're still kind of riding a high, and you know, it's off of the top, obviously, from last year. And we have, unfortunately, you know, I feel like it could go a little bit lower. I don't know how much lower, because the price of everything, inflation obviously affects everything, and the prices are through the roof. But I think there's going to be a lot of freight pain out in the community for the next 12 months, and we've already seen a lot with Yellow going bankrupt and Convoy going bankrupt, you know, and multiple carriers, multiple companies going bankrupt every day. And like, this is still going on. We haven't hit a massive recession within the economy yet, but we definitely have a freight recession. A lot of it has to do with the amount of capacity in the market. So you had all these new entrants come in. If you looked at the chart for new entrants into trucking, I believe it was like, it was crazy. It was like 300,000 new carriers in 1 year. And it was through the roof. I mean, it was just too many people, you know, chasing after that high dollar. I mean, you were seeing dry van rates on load boards at $5 and $6 a mile. I mean, anybody can make money. So we just experienced the gold rush. So that was my first gold rush I got experience in the industry. But yeah, I've definitely experienced a few downturns. And what I can tell, you know, if you're a driver looking at that, you just really need to be aware of your numbers. You need to always mind your numbers. You know, watch what your fuel economy is. Watch what you're spending in maintenance. Watch what you're spending at home. You got a budget. You got a plan. You got to save as much as possible, because, you know, there might be just come weeks where, you know, there's nothing there to haul. You know, there might be less to haul. Maybe you're setting a little bit more in between loads. I think probably some in the fleet, we're all starting to feel it already. And hopefully this is the worst of it, but you know, you got to be prepared. It can't get worse.
Yeah, I got a 17-year-old son at home, and during the summer he works a job, but then during the school year he's got so many other activities and things like that that he doesn't really work a job, but he'll pick up odd jobs from time to time, you know, mowing at somebody's yard or doing some little project, and they'll give him $100 bill. And all of a sudden he wants to go spend $200 because he's got $100. And I got to remind him, I said, you're still going to have gas to pay for your car for the rest of the month. You can't spend that whole $100 bill because you got stuff that's coming down the road. And if you're not going to be bringing in any more money, that $100 has to stretch for that. And in my 10 years of dispatching, I've seen examples of where when guys have made really good money, they're spending $200 instead of the $100 that they got. And then when things go slow, there's no money left there for them. And they really struggle. And the expectation is that things are just always going to go up, 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 and every load is going to pay more, more, and more. And there's a bit of an adjustment that comes when things level out a little bit or when things dip down below where they were before. And so I appreciate you sharing your thoughts on that and what you're seeing out there and advising guys, hey, you know, set some stuff aside, expect that there might be a week where you're not going to have a load. And just because you had one amazing week, don't go spend all that money just because you got it, but play the long game, right? I imagine that's really the best thing that you can do is to try to keep the long game in mind.
Yeah, it's a long game. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And, you know, but after 18 years of truck driving, the good is definitely outweighing the bad. And all that comes, and I've made mistakes. I've been looser with my money in the past than I have. Like, I was probably looser with my money than I should have been during COVID. Everybody was. But, you know, don't be so loose where you find yourself in that pickle, you know, where you just, you know, you have an unexpected breakdown, like, you know, $1,500 shouldn't wreck the ship. You know, you need to be always planning, always saving, always putting back. And if you don't have a budget, you know, there's free resources out there. There's a lot of great stuff online, you know, that'll get you on the right track there, getting on top of your situation.
Well, I was blown away earlier this year. I didn't know what happened. I don't know if you had just quit or if you had lost your mind, but it looked like you went on vacation for like 3 months and hit up every state park in the country. That looked pretty amazing.
Yeah, so that was my kids are the boys are getting older. They're teenagers, and you know, we knew that we didn't have much time to go. So I was like, heck with it. We probably shouldn't spend all this money, but we're going to do it. And we took off, and my truck was down anyway. I hit a deer in January, and the hood repair was what, 4 weeks. I was 4 weeks in the body shop, and it ended up being 5.5 weeks. And it was totally worth it. Now, we went everywhere. We went Black Hills. We went Moab. We rafted down the Colorado River. We hit up Sedona, Arizona. Definitely a trip of the lifetime for the family. You know, I don't know if we get to do that together with all the kids.
That's pretty amazing, man. Like, you gotta take advantage of that time when you can and build in those memories. You can run your butt off in your truck constantly. You can chase every single last penny and dollar out there. But if in the end your kids only know you as the dad who's always gone, what are you really doing it for? And so that's pretty awesome that you got to spend that time with them. Hey, I just want to thank you again, Chris. We'll let you hit the road and we'll hit back. We'll get back to hitting the phones and keeping all of our guys running. But thanks for taking the time. We're going to try to get a bunch of links in the notes for this podcast. We'll make sure we get your Instagram on there and make sure people are following you on Indy Trucker and all the other platforms that you're posting on right now.
Indy Trucker everywhere. Always be posting, y'all. Always.
And if there's anything you can do, let us know. We want to try to get a hold of one of those Please Advise hats.
Yeah, no, lostfreight.com. If you're not broadcasting your capacity at Autumn Transport, maybe you should be. You know, email them a list. Say, hey, I got this over here. Maybe it'll get some leads. I don't know how many people are out there looking for our specialized equipment, but I imagine somebody's there. Like, Where how in the heck am I going to move a load of corn oil? You know, hey, we got it. We can do it.
Perfect. I'll make sure that we check that out.
All right.
Thanks for your time, Chris. It was really fun talking with you, as always.
Yeah, you all too. Yep. Have a good one.
I just want to thank everybody for taking the time to listen today to the Autumn Transport Podcast. If you want to follow along with what we're doing at Autumn, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, all at Autumn Transport. We like to post pictures of our trucks and stories of our drivers and other information on there. Thanks, drive safe, and have a great day.